to suffer with that trouble in mind, and I'm blue, but I know I won't be blue.
All right.
Directions on how to use your radio. Find the power button. Turn it to on. Turn the knob to CKUT 90.3 FM. Relax and enjoy.
Yeah, and today our theme is first times.
First times, yeah. For the second time, or for the first time.
I think it's the first time we're doing this theme.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So we're going to hear stories and songs about, first time having first time doing other things, flying.
Yeah, because for many of us it is kind of the first time that we're doing stuff again, because it's the end of some of the
Yeah, don't you feel kind of like a virgin? Every time you go out and you, like, socialize with people?
You're like, oh, there's all these people.
How do I do this? I don't remember.
Small talk. How did I start it off again?
Yeah. So there you go.
I want to talk about Like a Virgin, because I was looking for covers of this song, and I was looking for also covers of another song, Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow? And I found a lot of great ones. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, now I'm going to look for, you know, like a Virgin covers. And I couldn't find a single one that was anywhere near as good as the original. And I realized that's what makes an amazing pop song. Because when that, like a Virgin, when they recorded that song, it is so perfect and so amazing that any other song is just like a weak, you know, it's like
imitation.
It's like watered down coffee when you're used to espresso, you know what I mean? And so I was thinking, because I really wanted to find a man singing that song, and then I was doing more research about the song, and I realized that it was written by Billy Steinberg and Tom Kelly. And it's, you know, like the whole thing about virginity is often it's about like, you know, female vulnerability, like females are virgins. Male virginity is something to be ashamed of and never mentioned, you know, but this song, he didn't write it for a woman. He actually wrote it about himself and his own emotions, which I thought was so cool because we so rarely hear men like talking about their vulnerabilities and their emotions. So what happened is he had come out of an emotionally challenging relationship and he had met someone new. He was just saying that, you know, this is the man speaking, Billy Steinberg. I may not really be a virgin. That's what Billy Steinberg is saying. I've been battered romantically and emotionally like many people, but I'm starting a new relationship and it feels just so good. It's healing all the wounds and making me feel like I've never done this before because it's so much deeper and more profound than anything I've ever felt. And I just thought that was so beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
The only other song I could find that was nearly as good as Like a Virgin was Like a Surgeon by Weird Al.
Which is awesome. Weird Al is awesome.
Yeah.
My hero. Yeah, so you went down the path of trying to find like songs that like men singing about.
Yeah, virginity, which is not that easy, but especially like the you know, like that, because it is like you are doing something new, and there's so much pressure on men to perform. Like they're expected to like be able to the one to initiate sex with great confidence and then be good at it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a lot of pressure.
It's a lot
of anxiety.
Yeah,
and it's difficult, you know. And then yeah. So I was looking for something that would explore that theme, and then I found like you know I didn't find that many songs, but I did find some good ones. But one song that I really love is this song we're about to play, J. Cole, "Wet Dreams." And I really just want you all to listen very closely to the lyrics because he really gets into some great descriptions of how a young man might prepare to have a first sexual encounter if he's never had one before. And it just is so full of that awkward, you know, amazingness. And I really like this song.
Cool.
Yeah. Let me take y'all back, man. As I do so well. Wasn't nothing like that, man. It wasn't nothing like that first time. She was in my math class, long hair, brown skin with the fat ass. Sat beside me, used to laugh, had mad jokes. The teacher always got mad, so we passed notes. It started off so innocent. She had a vibe and a nigga started digging it. I was a young and straight crushing, trying to play this shit cool. But a nigga couldn't wait to get to school. Cause when I seen them thighs on her and them hips on her and them lips on her, got me daydreaming, man, what? I'm thinking how she rides on it, if she sits on it, if she licks on it, make it hard for me to stand up. As time goes by, attraction's getting deeper. Wet dreaming, thinking that I'm smashing, but I'm sleeping. I want it bad, and I ain't never been obsessed before. She wrote a notice, said you ever had sex before. Damn, and I ain't never did this before, no. 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 I wrote back and said, of course I had sex before, knowing I was frontin'. I said, I'm like a pro, baby, knowing I was stuntin'. But if I told the truth, I knew that I'd get played out, son. Hadn't been in pussy since the day I came out one, but she don't know that, so she done wrote back and told me, oh, you a pro, homie? Well, I want you to show me. My mama gone for the weekend, so Saturday, baby, we can get the freakin'. That's when my heart start racing and my body start sweating. Baby, you done woke my little man up. I'm thinking how that body look naked when you laying on the bed. Teacher, please don't make me stand up. I wrote back like, yeah, baby, sound like a plan. Still trying to play it cool, sound like the man. But I was scared to death, my nigga, my stomach turned. Talking shit, knowing damn well I was a virgin. Fuck. And I ain't never did this before, no.
And I ain't never did this before, no. And I ain't never did this before, no. And I ain't never did this before, no. And I ain't never did this before, no.
In the bone for the first time. I'm hoping that she won't notice it's my first time. I'm hoping that my shit is big enough to fuck with. And most of all, I'm praying God don't let me bust quick. I'm watching pornos trying to see just how to stroke, right? Practice putting condoms on, how it go, right? I'm in a crib now, nigga, palm sweating. With a pocket full of rubbers and an erection. That's when my hands start touching and her face start flushing. And a nigga roll over on top. And then she get my pants unbuckled and her hands start rubbing on me. Ooh, girl, don't stop. It's time for action. Pull out the condoms real smooth. Yeah, just how I practice. But right before I put it in, she flinched and grabbed it and said, I wanna get something off my mental. I can tell you a pro, but baby, be gentle. Cause I ain't ever did this before, no. And 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 I ain't ever did this before, no.
When I was growing up, I was a fairly tame kid. I never got in big trouble, and I rarely did stupid things, not even as a teenager, and that was in the early 90s. But there was one thing that got to me. I already had my driver's license, but I wasn't supposed to drive because I didn't have insurance due to the insanely high rates. This, of course, seemed to me very unjust, especially since I was a responsible driver. So when I say the first time that I stole my dad's car didn't go so well, what I mean is that I came home from high school one afternoon. I got bored, I snuck out with the car when my dad was at work, and I drove it to the county library. All I wanted to do was check out a book, and it was almost an hour to get there by bus, but only 5 minutes away by car. So stupid me decides to take our whistling shit can of a 72 Volvo, 4-speed manual transmission. I drive to the library, I get my book, and I head home with plenty of time before my dad gets home. I'm stopped at a red light. I look over to my right, and there's some hotshot in a fancy gray sports car revving his engine. Whatever. The light turns green. I shift into first, and that's when it happens. The gear shift went crack, and the entire thing broke off from the bottom. I lifted my hand to look at the gear shifter. Bolts at the bottom were hanging loose. I must have had a completely shocked look on my face. I look to the right, and the guy in the sports car is looking at me. He looks at the stick, he laughs loudly, proceeds to shift his own car into gear, burns rubber, and takes off. The car behind me starts honking, and the cherry on top is that I had to keep my left leg on the heavy clutch so that the car wouldn't stall, because the transmission was stuck in first. Long story short, I jammed the thing back in, I managed to get home with no further problem, and at home I was even able to bolt it back into place properly. When I was older, I realized I should have told my dad there was a major problem with the car, but at that age it seemed more important to avoid getting in trouble for driving when I wasn't supposed to. We scrapped the car a few years later, and that was that. But years later, I told him the story, and we laughed and laughed, and he said, Estefanito, you were very lucky. That car was a real piece of shit. We laughed some more. And yes, I did sneak off with the car a bunch more times.
I'm last summer, I was trying to figure out how to take a holiday, and newly single, I can't really go anywhere, it's COVID, so I decided to try bicycle camping by myself. I borrowed some light gear from a friend, decided on Oka, because it's only 50 kilometers away, which is manageable. I can ride 50 pretty easily, and packed up and headed out. According to Google Maps, it's like 2.5 hours, I think they say, which is ridiculous. It took me over 5 hours. I had 40 pounds of gear on my back, even packing lightly. And there's a long stretch, I think it's called the Boule des Prairies, Boulevard des Prairies, I think. There's this long stretch that's just relentlessly sunny, like no shade. Anyway, so by the time I arrive at Oka, I'm exhausted 5 hours later. And arriving at Oka doesn't mean you're anywhere near the admin office. It means you've got another 7 or 8 kilometers of riding on the road of hills. Hills. Up, down, up, down, up, down. Oh my god, I was so exhausted. And I kept looking at the sky and thinking, it's okay, don't stress. You've got lots of time to set up your site. You're going to be fine. So by the time I arrive at the main building, the general store, which is where you have to pick up your documentation, etc., I'm just wiped. I'm so tired, so fed up, and wondering why the hell I've done this to myself. And I sanitize my hands, and I put on my mask, and I head into the store, and the worker in the store immediately kind of yells at me, like, back off, essentially, because I guess I've come within a meter and a half or something of her. Anyway, COVID freakouts, you know, gotta respect people's fear. I get it. So yeah, I almost burst out crying because I'm so tired. You remember when you were a kid and you were tired and you'd cry and your mom would say, oh, she's just crying because she's tired. It's time for her to go to bed. Yeah, I'm still like that. So I get myself over to my campsite. I immediately burst into tears. I'm bawling my eyes out. I've got snot running down my face. But I managed to get my tent set up and calm down and breathe in and think, okay, well, it's camping. I must start a fire now. So I have to return to the general store and buy wood and fire starter. So the light's starting to dim. It's starting to get dark. I hop on my bike. I ride over there. I buy wood. I strap it on my bike. I'm super set to go. And now it's pitch black. I have a horrible sense of direction. So, okay, I can do this. What choice do I have, right? So I get on my bike and I ride. And every time I come to like a turn or I see a rectangle that looks like it might be a sign, I get off and I take my bike light in my hand and I shine it on the side and I manage to find my way back. It was only the next day when I rode on those roads in daylight that I realized I had managed to avoid a lot of really dangerous potholes. I don't know how. I have no idea. But I got back to my campsite and was ready to start a fire and then thought, why are you starting a fire? You're doing this because you're supposed to? Yeah, I don't feel like it. So instead of starting a fire, I got into my tent, smoked a joint, and got on my phone with my extra charger that I had, my external battery, I guess, and watched some shows that I had downloaded from Netflix. So I woke up the next morning feeling pretty good, pretty proud of myself, and went about my day. Had brought no food, counting on Oka being a big public beach to have, you know, the snack bar, etc. But COVID, they had almost no food. So I ended up getting by on, you know, those vending machine sandwiches. That's what I ate until my evening meal, which was, oh my God, vacuum-packed Indian food that I had brought along. The best thing to take camping. Oh my God, so recommended. Anyway, as The evening progresses. Some dude shows up at the next campsite to me in a camper van, a guy in his like late 50s, early 60s or something. Within seconds, spots that I'm alone on my campsite. I have one bike, no car, and calls over, "Do you want to go and see the sunset from the boat launch?" I'm like, "Okay, yeah, sure." So I go with him reluctantly, but thinking, okay, better to be polite than not. Go and watch the sunset, and of course, while we're watching the sunset, "So, do you have a boyfriend?" To which I think on my feet, answer quickly, "Yeah, in fact, I don't know where he is. He's supposed to be coming up tonight. I don't even have a text from him yet, but he should be here soon." Anyway, we go back to our campsites, our prospective campsites, and now I'm kind of nervous, though. I'm thinking, like, dude's, like, way too aware that I'm alone, like, noticed so quickly. And I have a zipper and a piece of canvas between me and him when I go to sleep tonight. So I have two things that I put beside my pillow. I have my phone, my cell phone. I dial 911, not 911, so that I'm ready. If I have to hit one, I can do it. And I have this little portable alarm. I don't know if you've ever heard these things, but my mom gave me this years ago, and I happened to think to bring it along. So this is what this sounds like. Yeah, can you imagine that in the middle of the night in a silent campground? Yeah. So I've got this and my phone next to my pillow, and I go to sleep quite anxious, but I finally manage to go to sleep. And then, yeah, I hear it. There's somebody on my site. I can hear noise, the movement, things of mine being touched or something. So I set the alarm off, and the noise stops, and my heart's beating fast, but eventually I go back to sleep. Two more times in the middle of the night, I hear the noise. Both times, I set the alarm off and go back to sleep after a while. Finally, when I woke up in the morning, the dude next door was long gone. Okay, maybe I did scare him away finally. But then I see that my garbage has been gotten into, everything's all over the place, and I realize I was just scaring some poor raccoons. Oops. Anywho. After that, I actually booked an extra night because I had so much fun. It's so cool to be there by yourself, to eat when you want to eat, ride when you want to ride, swim when you want to swim. I really like traveling by myself anyway, but yeah, I highly recommend camping by yourself. But yeah, take a personal alarm, because yeah, I'm happy I had it.
La première fois que j'ai mangé et que j'ai mis en musique dans ma bouche, ma mère ou ma grand-maman, je me rappelle plus, quand on était en camping, quelqu'un l'avait frappé sur la fenêtre et moi j'avais pris dans ma main et après je l'ai mis dans ma bouche et j'ai fait une face bizarre. Comme j'ai crié. Yeah! Et du coup.
Okay, I'm talking to Sophie about her first time
eating fries.
Okay.
I didn't know which kind of food my mom was going to prepare. My dad didn't tell me. And I was wondering. So my dad walked me home. I went to go sit down. I watched my iPad to eat.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't know what to eat. So my dad gave me something very yummy, mm-hmm, for now. It was an apple. But after, my mom came home. And she gave me fries. Then when I ate them, I liked them. And
did you know what they were before you ate them?
They were like orange fries.
Orange?
They were really good.
Were they sweet potato fries?
Yeah, they were sweet potato fries. They made my mouth all yummy. And I really liked them. And they're like someone is helping me. Like, do something, you know, nice.
Mm-hmm.
That's how the fries are, like, because the fries are very yummy, and I like fries.
What about you, Zach? Do you have a first-time story that you want to tell?
Yeah.
the first time I collected my Pokemon cards. Well, I got my Pokemon cards from the mail from Arthur, from my cousin.
Yeah, and he mailed you some Pokemon cards? Mm-hmm. All the way from Switzerland?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'll always remember the first time I ever tasted it. It was so sweet and so delightful. Yellow in texture, just the right amount in my mouth. Tasted like honey, but it wasn't. No, it wasn't honey at all. It was a mango.
The first time I ate strawberry shortcake was in September 2006. It was soft, buttery, creamy, but not too sugary. I remember thinking that it was the first cake I tasted that felt good to my body, like I was biting into a peach. And we weren't celebrating a birthday. We had very little reason to celebrate, actually, but it was a time to pull together. I was sprawled on the floor of my teacher's Westmount home with some of my fellow journalism classmates. We were gathered there because a few days before, on September 13, 2006, there was a shooting at our school, Dawson College. We were in charge of the school journal, and we wanted to put out an issue honoring Anastasia de Sousa. She was a 17-year-old girl who was fatally shot that day. Her favorite color was said to be pink, so we decided to go with a pink theme. One of our classmates had been shot and was recovering from a ricochet wound to the femur. She'd have to relearn to walk again. I was there that day as well. I remember running and not knowing what was happening. I remember feeling strangely calm, like time stopped. And after that, I remember feeling numb. And now when I think of that time, meeting to put out the magazine, writing articles, you know, just keeping busy and offering a semblance of real life to a horrific event, coming back to school after the shooting, I remember everyone wearing pink, everyone hugging, crying, turning to each other for comfort, ultimately. And it's weird, but strawberry shortcake is a bit of a symbol to me, the presence of goodness, of pleasure, even when life gets really ugly.
There must have been an angel by my side. Something heavenly led me to you. Look at the sky. When I
first time ever I saw your face. I thought the sun gives you gain to the dark and the endless skies, my love. The first time ever
go first.
Okay.
I remember the first time, and I was in Portugal. I was backpacking. I was 18 years old, and I just felt the weight of my virginity just crushing me. I was like, I cannot go to university next year and be a virgin. I can't have left this part of my life with this like albatross hanging around my neck. So basically what happened is, there was a beautiful fire on a beach with a bunch of, like, you know, your typical group of people who hang out in a hostel, like Australians and New Zealanders, and, you know, somebody, like, from the local area, and, you know what? I just was like, that's it, tonight's the night. And so this very lovely person, whose name I, funnily enough, do not know now, and I'm not sure if I ever knew it. But because his name was a little, for me at the time, at 18 years old, a little bit difficult to pronounce, so it didn't like get stored in my brain. And we went back to his place, and that was it. And the interesting thing was that the next day he really wanted me to stay, and I was like, no, I can't stay here because I have to go. I'm renting a moped, and we're driving along the coast. So that was the end. And the actual like having sex for the first time, it was just nice. It wasn't really like super spectacular, except for the physical contact. Like the actual sex part was like just whatever, but the, you know, like being so physical with someone was really lovely. I remember that part. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Okay, my turn. Well, I could say the first time, pretty anticlimactic. Mm-hmm. I think there was supposed to be a first time on New Year's Eve or something. Mm-hmm. This was like with my first love, and we'd been dating for maybe mm-hmm. 2-3 months, and so I was like ready. I was like, okay, I love you. We can do this, you know, because mm-hmm. I'd been brought up like a good Catholic girl with a very overprotective mother, so, you know, I hadn't had much of a chance before. I was also very shy. So anyway, I finally did it. Okay, we're going to do it. And then, like, the night we tried to do it, like, I think he forgot to get condoms, so we were, like, in the heat of the action, and then, like, he had to, like, go out in the cold and get some, and then by the time he came back, I was just cold, you know? Yeah. I was just like, no, it's not happening, you know? Mm-hmm. So then we did it later, you know, maybe a few days later, and, yeah, not unremarkable. The most remarkable thing about the story was that afterwards, I think maybe I was showered and then we talked a bit or something, and he was like, so you didn't? And I was like, no, I didn't. And it took some time, but I figured out that he was saying that, like, I had an orgasm, I hadn't come. I thought that's what he was asking me, like,
yeah.
You didn't have, you know, you didn't finish kind of thing. And I was like, yeah, no, I didn't, no. But actually, he meant, like, you didn't bleed, you know? Like, as a virgin, you know, like, she should have bled, so, and you didn't. And I was like, no big whoop, you know? So that was funny.
That's funny. I didn't bleed either. I mean, I think that's such an overrated part of the whole thing.
Like, it's just false. Like, yeah. It's just false. Like, it may happen, but it also, there's so many other ways you could, like, break that tiny piece of skin, the hymen, and,
yeah,
like, at any point in your youth, you know, before, yeah.
And it's so telling that he, like, wasn't concerned about the orgasm part, but you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's just so, there's so much in that story.
So patriarchal, yeah.
Yeah.
What I can say is the first time that the same person mm-hmm. went down on me, which happened before, I found that to be much more significant.
Yeah.
I remembered, like, the next day, I had to go to, like, my, like, Saturday morning youth orchestra practice, and I just was like, whoa. I was like, I kept looking down at my legs and being like, whoa.
Somebody's been there.
Yeah. Can anyone tell? You know?
Yeah.
Can anyone tell? I guess I look the same, but I don't feel the same, you know?
Yeah. Well, after you have that first incredible encounter,
like,
you're like, it's true, the next day, you're just, like, in a different dimension.
Yeah.
You definitely feel. Yeah. Because you know.
Yeah.
Like, everything You've looks changed. Different. You've changed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
All you ladies pop your pussy like this. Shake your body, don't stop, don't miss. All you ladies pop your pussy like this. Shake your body, don't stop, don't miss. Just do it, do it, do it, do it, do it now. Lick it good, suck this pussy just like you should. Right now, lick it good, suck this pussy just like you should. My neck, my back, lick my pussy and my crack. My neck, my back, lick my pussy. Shake and come, nigga. Make sure I keep bustin' us, nigga. All over your face and stuff. Slow head, show me so much love. The best head comes from a thug. The dick good, thick, big and long. Slow puffin' to the crack of dawn. On the edge, making faces and stuff. Through the night, making so much love. Dead sleep when the sun comes up. So lick it now, lick it good. Lick this pussy just like you should. Right now. Like me moans and screams. The missus know what I mean. At the club, fresh so clean. A whole hate of niggas watching me. So high in the line on green. With a unit on my face so mean. I got the big words, nigga, I need. To suck at the nigga, satisfy me. You try me, I make you see. Your bitches ain't got shit on me. So lick it now,
my pussy and my crack. My neck, my back, lick my pussy and my crack. My neck, my back, lick my pussy and my crack. My neck, my back, lick my pussy and my crack.
Well, for me, all those firsts happened that one night, actually, and that was what was impressive, because I never really had any girlfriends or boyfriends in high school. Mm-hmm. You know, I had a clique of good platonic friends, but, yeah. So all those firsts happened that night, actually. The first, French kiss, which I thought was, like, the most, like, remarkable experience to me. All those things happened for the first time, and that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I hardly even remember the actual, like, sex part. Mm-hmm. I don't remember being painful or anything. Mm-hmm. I just remember.
I remember it was, like, slightly painful for a moment, yeah. but not, like, a big deal. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, my first kiss was kind of terrible because that was, like, many years earlier. I was maybe 12 or 13, 12, and I was at some basement party, you know, mm-hmm. some party with a bunch of kids in a basement playing games.
Yeah.
You know, I got Mike Stickland, who I had a crush on at the time, but it was a pretty terrible experience because I didn't know what I was doing. He didn't know what he was doing. And then he, like, made fun of me in front of everyone. He was like, she tried to slip me the tongue, you know? And I don't think that I actually deliberately did, but who knows? Like,
yeah.
Who knows? But it was kind of humiliating. Not very, yeah.
You know. Yeah.
Anyway, what a douche. Who knows why I liked him so much for so long?
That'll be the next show.
Yeah. Like all those douches I liked.
Sometimes something beautiful happens in this world. You don't know how to express yourself, so you just gotta sing.
I just had to. So good when I did it with my penis. Yeah. A girl let me do it. It literally just happened. Having sex can make a nice man out the meanest. Never guess where I just came from. I had sex. If I had to describe the feeling, it was the best. When I had the sex, man, my penis felt great. And I called my parents right after I was done. Oh, hey, didn't see you there. Guess what I just did? Had sex, undressed, saw her boobies and the rest. Was sure nice of her to let you do that thing. Nice of any girl ever. Now sing. I just had sex and it felt so good. Felt so good. I wanna let me put my penis inside of her. I wanna tell the world.
To be honest, I'm surprised she even wanted me to do it. Doesn't really make sense. But man, screw it. I ain't one to argue with a good thing. She could be my wife. That good? The best 30 seconds of my life. I'm so humbled by a girl's ability to let me do it. Cause honestly, I'd have sex with a pile of manure. With that in mind, the soft neck smelling girl's better. But she let me wear my chain and my turtleneck sweater.
So this one's dedicated to them girls that let us flop around on top of them. Yeah. If you're near or far, whether short or tall, we wanna thank you all for letting us fuck you.
She kept looking at her watch. Been a racist.
Doesn't matter, had sex.
She put a bag on my head.
Still count. I just had sex.
I did it requires a bit of preamble. I was backpacking through New Zealand and was hitchhiking, and I was on my way from the ferry from the South Island to the North Island, and I got picked up by this guy who I thought was kind of attractive, but I didn't really venture into any particular topic related to that aspect of his appearance or anything remotely related to my attraction towards him. And so I talked with him, as one does during a car ride, and mentioned at some point that I needed a place to stay in Auckland, asking him for recommendations, and he volunteered his friend's place in Auckland, and just told me to call this guy, I can't remember his name, and once I got to Auckland, then tell him who I was, and he would let me stay. So so eventually I made my way to Auckland, and it was probably maybe a few weeks later. The guy had no idea what I was talking about when I called him. So after talking with him for a little bit, he said it was okay that I could stay at his place. So he came to pick me up at a coffee shop that I was waiting for him at, that he had recommended. And so I was basically staying at his friend's place. And then Stephen, the guy who picked me up in his car when I was hitchhiking, he arrived the next day at the same house, and was spending a few nights there himself. So we were effectively staying in the same place. And then he offered to show me around, drive me around to some sites, and see some places that I wouldn't have gotten to see as a non-local. And I asked him if he was gay during the car ride. I don't know what, I can't remember why I decided to ask him, or what, what inspired me to, what gave me the courage to, but I did. I asked him, and he said, sort of, which was kind of an interesting answer. In any case, after we got back from that particular car trip, when I asked him, we were actually alone in the house that night, and we were watching Monty Python and the Holy Grail, which I had never seen before, at the age of 22, in 1993. So we were watching that particular movie, which is, it's a Monty Python movie. So you can just imagine, that you don't really get inspired to get hot and heavy with someone during a movie like that. But that's kind of what sort of started happening. We started sort of, well, I made the first move, I guess. I kind of leaned into him a bit, and put my head on his in the crook of his arm, and lay it there, and then eventually the movie ended. We did watch the movie to the end, and then we decided to go to bed, and he became my first one that particular night. I won't go into the gory details, but he was the first man that I bestowed my flower to, or my cherry, or whatever, whatever metaphor you want to use. So that's how I came to my first time at the ripe old age of 22.
First time you kiss my lips. First time your fingertips touching me. Couldn't resist.
Time. I do. It's irresistible. It's unstoppable. Guess who? It's first time fat. Sound like you hear me for the first time again, baby. Now my first time checking you, only took a second to start inspecting you without disrespecting you. Wasn't expecting you to say it was affecting you. What you wearing got me staring like you butt naked, boo. It may seem like I don't even reckon you, but I daydream about kissing on the neck of you. Style is impeccable, smile is incredible. Ain't nothing like you, and baby, I done met a few. The way I feel, it's almost like a crush. My heart beats faster, it's almost like a rush. And that's just when you're in a room. I can tell when you're around by the scent of your perfume. I see why they put them R&B songs together. Yeah. I feel like Mariah, we belong together. It's my pleasure, I treasure that I met you. Betcha I could get you on the first time.
The first time you kiss my lips. First time your fingertips touching me. Couldn't resist. I knew I was meant for this. First time you held me close. First time I couldn't say no.
Time was intimidating. No rush though, I spent the whole November waiting. Come on, look at the patience that I'm demonstrating. After a week or two, I usually start eliminating. But we got through the convo on the phone. Now we finally chilling in the condo all alone. I tried to be expressive without being aggressive. Just being suggestive, a little more impressive. And I'm a good player. I listened to the coach. She showed me the playbook and said, this is the approach if you ever want to score. Cause some players rush their shots, and that's why they never on the floor. And that's why we both feel comfortable. Like longtime friends, only been a month or two. I got moves, and I know when to make them. But I only give them if I know you can take them. Uh-oh.
The first time you kiss my lips. First time your fingertips touching me. Couldn't resist. I knew I was meant for this. First time you held me close. First time I couldn't say no. So lost inside of you. I knew I was meant for this.
Now before the first time we laid down in the bed, you ain't know the kind of things that played round in my head. I ain't played round when I said you gon' remember this. Might even turn your cell phone when you reminisce. Our first time we were like virgins with experience. A little shy, but I urge you to experiment. Things got better. Oh, I mean better. Oh, I'm getting numb. I'm about to come on now. Not yet, boo, slow down. We just stepped in the ring, need a few more rounds. That's the first time it felt like that. Now you know why fabulous is spelt like that. Yeah.
The first time you kiss my lips. First time your fingertips touching me. Couldn't resist. I knew I was meant for this. First time you held me close. First time I couldn't say no. So lost inside of you. I knew I was meant for you. The first time you kiss my lips. First time your fingertips touching me. Couldn't resist. I knew I was meant for this.
So that wraps it up for first times on Easy Sonic Living.
Mm-hmm. I don't have much to say. That was the first time you heard that.
Yeah, that's pretty much the first time you haven't had a lot to say, but thank you.
That was
Hope
a fun
you enjoy.
Show.
Yeah,
really
it was fun.
I enjoyed doing it.
Made it through med school. Somehow I made it through. I'm just an intern. I still make a mistake or two. I was last in my class. Barely passed at the institute. Now I'm trying to avoid. Yeah, I'm trying to avoid a malpractice. A surgeon, cutting for the best.
Listening to Space Plane on CKUT 90.3 until 2 a.m. And this is a mostly music edition. So stay tuned!